Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call of BMW Group for the second quarter of first six months, 2014. As always, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichener, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance, will be giving you an overview of the business development. After that, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. The floor is Dr. Reithofer's.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. There's rearrangement in Europe. The new EU Parliament and the EU Commission have to set the course for the future. Together, all the EU countries are facing enormous challenges. How can the EU keep up its productive efficiency and remain competitive with the other large world regions, Asia and America? How can the EU keep a strong industrial base, which is the prerequisite for growth, job, and social stability within Europe? How can the EU ensure its innovative lead with regard to key future technologies such as sustainable mobility? If we are not able to offer bold solutions to all these questions, Europe as a business location will continue to lose ground. In order to hold our own in global competition, Europe must remain an open market and fight for free markets. This is why the BMW Group is supporting the efforts to conclude a free trade agreement between the EU and the USA. We at the BMW Group are fully convinced that our future lies in a strong and united Europe. It is the joint task of government, business, and society as a whole to develop solutions that are long-lasting. The automotive industry is one of the leading drivers of the European economy. Thanks to our industry's innovative strength, we've been able to create around 12 million direct and indirect jobs in Europe. This makes the car industry the EU's largest employer and also the EU's biggest exporter. For the first time since the global financial and economic crisis, car registrations in Europe are expected to pick up this year compared to the previous year. In Spain and Portugal, as well as in the U.K., the number of people buying a new car is increasing. For the BMW Group, Europe is much more than just the company's largest sales region. Europe is where we produce around 70% of our vehicles at 16 locations in four countries, including contract manufacturers. European politicians have set the strictest CO2 requirements for vehicles worldwide. At the same time, Europe offers very little in terms of incentives to promote sustainable mobility compared with other major economies. The Europeans should seize the opportunity to take the technological lead in the shift towards sustainable mobility. It's all about striking the right balance. We need to restore a balance that will help us master the permanent tug-of-war between ecological requirements, social demands, and industrial policy matters, because the world is changing. There are still tremendous risks to the global economy. These range from public debt to reflationary monetary policies to political conflicts. Growth in countries like Japan and major emerging markets is slowing down. Competition is getting tougher every day, and our business environment continues to be extremely volatile. As the leading premium car manufacturer, our goal is to achieve long-term growth. At the same time, we want to be and remain profitable. For 2014, experts expect growth in the global economy and growth in the global car market. In the light of these forecasts, we are confident about the business year 2014. We aim to build on our growth momentum of the past years. Our targets for the business year 2014 are clear. First, a significant increase in deliveries to a new record high of over 2 million vehicles. Second, a pre-tax group result at a level significantly above the previous years. Third, an EBIT margin in the automotive segment in the range of 8%-10%. Let me give you a brief overview of the key figures for the first six months of 2014. First, sales. We have sold more cars of our three brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce, in the first half year than ever before. For the first time, we've exceeded the mark of 1 million cars in mid-year sales. Our core brand, BMW, also achieved a new record during this period, selling more than 866,000 cars. The BMW 3, 5, and 6 Series, as well as the X5, are the clear market leaders in their respective segments. BMW Motorrad also reached a new all-time high for a six-month period, whilst Rolls-Royce recorded the best first 6 months in its history. At MINI, sales figures were affected by the model update of the hatch. Second, pre-tax group profit. We've achieved a result of over 4.8 billion euros here, which is significantly above the same period last year. Third, group net profit. Net profit increased to more than 3.2 billion euros. Fourth, EBIT margin in the automotive segment. In the first half of the year, our EBIT margin stood slightly above our target range of 8 to 10%. But we're also aware that we need to invest further in key future projects, in new technologies, and in new facilities around the world. These also include increasingly strict regulatory requirements and reducing our fleet CO2 emissions. Nevertheless, our 2014 forecast remains unchanged. We will meet our targets for the fiscal year 2014. An important success factor will be the new models we're going to offer to our customers in the second half of the year. One of the most important launches this year is the 2 Series Active Tourer. Featuring front-wheel drive and maximum functionality, this model is a true innovation for BMW. Representatives of the international media recently had a chance to test drive it. And the initial feedback is, the Active Tourer drives like a real BMW. This is our ambition with every BMW model. And our customers will be able to have the same experience starting in September. The M variant of the BMW 4 Series convertible will be launched in September as well. The new BMW X4 and the model revision of the X3 came out in July. At MINI, the model revisions of the Countryman and the Paceman also arrived at the dealerships in July, to be followed by the five-door hatch in the autumn. At Rolls-Royce, deliveries of the Ghost Series 2 will begin in fall. Our plug-in hybrid sports car, BMW i8, has been available since June, and incoming orders are very high. Following its market launch in Europe, the US and Japan, the fully electric BMW i3 will also be available in the metropolitan regions of China in the second half of this year. So far, around 5,400 i3 have been registered. As a global player, the BMW Group intends to achieve balanced growth around the world. A balanced distribution of sales increasingly requires a balanced distribution of production. This means we believe the need to operate production sites in the three large world regions are Europe, Asia and America. The same can be said for our research and development activities. Our production follows the market. This approach gives us flexibility, it helps us offset currency fluctuations and allows us to grow globally to tap into new market opportunities. Let me give you a few recent examples. The first one from Asia. In China, we're going to expand our capacities at the plants in Dadong and Tiexi to a total of 400,000 units per year over the course of the next 2 years. We've extended our cooperation with our joint venture partner Brilliance up to 2028. Our intention is to focus even more strongly on the specific demands of our Chinese customers and on attracting new customers. This is why in future we're going to produce 6 instead of 3 BMW models locally. At the same time, we're adding to our dealership and service network in China, and we're investing in research and development. At our R&D center in Shenyang, which we set up together with Brilliance in 2013, 500 engineers are working on a mobility of the future. In South Korea, we opened another R&D center in July. It is the 5th R&D site outside of Germany of the BMW Group. More and more trends are emerging in Asia in particular. We established our first driving center in Asia in South Korea. Previously, such driving experience centers for customers only existed in Germany and the US. Up to 2020, we're going to invest a total of over $75 million in South Korea, creating about 100 new jobs. We have also signed a memorandum of understanding with Samsung SDI to expand our supply relationship for battery cells for electric and electrified vehicles. Second example, America. In the US, we're expanding the production capacity of our Spartanburg plant to 450,000 units annually. The earmarked investments for the years 2014 to 16 are $1 billion. In Mexico, we're going to build a new plant in the NAFTA region in San Luis Potosí. Total investment here also amounts to $1 billion. As of 2019, up to 150,000 cars annually can roll off the assembly line there. These examples demonstrate that we're investing in our international production network. As a global corporation, we must always have a 360-degree approach for our corporate strategy. How is our business developing? What do our customers want today and in the future, and what's happening in the world around us? By successfully mastering all these points, we will continue to fully capitalize on new growth opportunities and leverage our lead in the premium segment. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Now, Dr. Eichner, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to bid you good morning. Positive business development of the first 6 months has met our expectations, with more than 1 million deliveries in retail sales growth of 6.9%, revenues for the first 6 months were the company's highest ever. Group EBIT also reached a new level at 4.69 billion euros. The high utilization of our global capacities and a good model and regional mix have also had a positive impact. In Asia and China in particular, once again, we were able to report double-digit growth in deliveries. We also made further gains over the previous year in the Americas. The price situation in Europe improved somewhat for the first time in the second quarter. Deliveries also increased slightly compared to the first half of 2013. We expect the positive business trend to be sustained throughout the rest of the year. The momentum in our major overseas markets in particular looks set to continue. Group revenues for the second quarter reached 19.91 billion, which is an increase of 1.8% over the same period last year. The slight increase in revenues relative to sales growth is the result of currency translation effects. Adjusted for these effects, revenues increased by 5.2%. Group pre-tax earnings for the second quarter reached 2.66 billion euros. Compared to the second quarter of 2013, group earnings before tax were 30.9% higher. At group level, the EBIT margin for the same period was 13.1%. This underlines how we have enhanced our profitability since last year. The BMW Group continues to maintain its high level of research and development and capital expenditure in order to strengthen the company's future competitiveness. In the first 6 months of the year, we invested a total of 2.58 billion in new products and equipment, including investments in Dingolfing and Regensburg in preparation for the production of the upcoming 7 Series and a new compact model. Total capital expenditure rose by 8% year on year. The CapEx ratio for the first 6 months of the year stood at 6.8%. The CapEx ratio for the full year 2014 is likely to exceed our target of below 7%, but should be lower than the previous year's figure of 8.8%. The BMW Group spent a total of 991 million euros on research and development in the second quarter. That's a 3.5% increase over the same period last year. Expenditure was mainly earmarked for new products and fields of technology, in alternative drive technologies and measures for further reducing CO2 emissions. The R&D ratio for the first half of 2014 stood at 5.4%, and the ratio for the full year is probably going to exceed our target range of 5 to 5.5%, but it will be lower than the previous years of 6.3%. Group liquidity remained largely unchanged in the second quarter. At the end of the quarter, liquid assets and marketable securities totaled 10.62 billion euros. thereby maintaining the BMW Group's solid financial position. Let's move on to the automotive segment. In the second quarter, we achieved a new all-time sales high of more than 533,000 deliveries. And this is in spite of lower MINI volumes due to the model changeover. The BMW brand posted sales growth of 8.3% to reach a total of more than 458,000 units. The new 4 Series models contributed to the sales growth, with the 3 Series, 4 Series, 5 Series models, the X3, X5 and X6. The BMW brand is the leader in its respective vehicle classes. The world premiere of the three-door MINI hatch has been a success. We expect new models to generate additional sales momentum in the second half of the year. Segment revenues for the second quarter were 18.5 billion euros. The volume-driven increase in revenue was dampened by the depreciation of a number of our main currencies. The EBIT for the same period reached 2.16 billion euros, an increase of 23.1% over the previous year. Second quarter earnings also benefited from sales growth and a positive product mix. Due to the model change, MINI accounted for a lower percentage of sales. This effect will even out over the course of the year, however, once the new models are available in the markets. The positive earnings development also benefited from the disproportionately low costs incurred in the first 6 months. This effect is likely to be reversed in the later half of the year, with higher project-related and seasonal costs. The automotive segment achieved an EBIT margin of 11.7% for the second quarter. Our target range for the full year remains 8-10%. After the first 6 months, EBIT margin stands at 10.7%. We expect the segment margins to weaken in the second half of the year. This is due to market launch and ramp-up costs on the one hand. We're preparing a wide range of product ramp-ups in the second half of the year, including the Active Tourer, the Rolls-Royce Ghost Series 2, and the 5-door MINI. Further upfront investments in future projects will also result in a dampening effect. Extensive development projects for further reduction of CO2 emissions in the field of alternative drive concepts and lightweight construction, as well as new product projects, will lead to higher capital expenditure and development spending in the second half of 2014. The segment headcount is expected to increase as well. Sales projects such as future retail and various IT projects will similarly lead to higher costs in the course of 2014. In the first 6 months, changes in currency and raw material prices had a slight negative impact on segment earnings. But we are well hedged in the major currencies and raw materials for the full year. However, we anticipate a charge in the low to mid three-digit million euro range from headwinds in this area. Healthy demand and numerous product launches contributed to a new all-time production high of 1,073,000 units. The 4 Series Grand Coupe, the X4, new M3 and M4 models, as well as the BMW i vehicles, for instance, will all be released in the overseas markets over the coming months. We expect the strong product momentum of the first 6 months to continue in the second half of the year. Preparations for this growth resulted in a working capital increase of 1.81 billion euros at the end of the first 6 months. This build-up of working capital impacted free cash flow, which stood at 1.03 million as per 30th of June. Thanks to continued sales growth and a correspondingly reduction in inventories, we still expect free cash flow to be higher than that of the previous year. However, it will remain below 3 billion euros. At the end of the second quarter, net financial assets in the automotive segment totaled almost 11.499 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, in the financial services segment, competition for attractive financing has increased substantially. BMW Group Financial Services is focusing on profitable new business and a good balance between leasing and financing. The number of new contracts decreased by 1.9% in the second quarter, was therefore slightly lower than that of the previous year. A total of more than 380,800 leasing and finance contracts were concluded with customers in this period. BMW Group Financial Services serviced a portfolio of 4.22 million contracts as of 30th of June. This represents an increase of 5.8% over the previous year. At 40.9%, the segment penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles financed by financial services, was lower than that of the first half of 2013. The segment reported pre-tax earnings of 918 million euros in the first half of 2014, and this figure is on par with that of the previous year. The risk situation developed in line with our expectations. The credit risk situation for financial services remained stable in the first half of the year. The segment always makes appropriate provisions for business risks. Pricing on the international used car markets, including Europe, remained largely unchanged. In the US, prices showed a slight downward trend. In the second half of the year, we expect credit risks to remain stable or improve slightly in all regions. The residual value risks should remain stable in Europe and Asia, and in North America, prices for used cars are expected to decrease slightly. Overall, the positive business development in financial services should continue throughout the rest of the year. The motorcycle segment reported a new sales high for both the second quarter and the first 6 months of the year. Almost 71,000 vehicles were delivered to customers in the year to the end of June. That's an increase of 9.3%. Sales performed well in markets including France, Italy and the US. The R-Series in particular, with the new models R1200 RT, R1200 GS Adventure, and R90 made strong gains. In the first half year, the overall market in the segment above 500 cubic centimeters showed signs of recovery for the first time worldwide. Over the year, the markets in Germany and Europe should improve compared to the previous year. In the US, the total market should be close to 2013 levels. BMW Motorrad will benefit from this trend. Revenues for the first 6 months climbed by 9.8% to 1 billion. EBIT for the same period reached 119 million euros, which is an increase of 22.7% year on year. Despite the strong sales momentum forecast for the second half of the year, earnings development will be subject to the usual seasonal influences. Ladies and gentlemen, after 6 months, the BMW Group is right on track, thanks to the positive business development in its segments. The company continues to benefit from its attractive model lineup and global presence. We are therefore confident that the BMW Group will achieve its goals for the full year. The positive business development should continue in the second half of the year. This assumes that conditions remain stable. And it depends in particular on the continued recovery of the European markets and sustained growth momentum in the overseas markets. Nevertheless, economic risk will stay high in the second half of the year. The pressure for consolidation of financial debt in Europe, the US and Japan remains an issue. Continued expansive monetary policy also bears the risk of creating a price bubble. Political conflicts in the Middle East and Ukraine could also affect prices for fossil fuels, which in turn could have a negative impact on the global economy. As previously announced, we anticipate a significant increase in pre-tax earnings at group level for 2014 compared to the previous year. In the automotive segment, deliveries should be significantly higher than the previous year. We expect to see a solid increase in revenues despite currency translation effects. For the full year, we expect the EBIT margin to remain within our target range of 8-10%. However, due to the aforementioned upfront investments and expenses for ongoing product and technology projects, margins in the second half of the year will not quite match the level of the first 6 months. For our financial services segment, we expect a continued positive business development. The return on equity of the segment will exceed the target of at least 18%. However, it will be slightly lower than that of last year due to necessary investments. We have adequate risk provisions for our financial services activities. From today's perspective, BMW Motorrad will also meet its targets, assuming conditions remain stable. Our forecast for the year, as already mentioned, is based on stable political and macroeconomic conditions. Any changes in the political or economic climate could affect our guidance. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is focused on worldwide growth and sustainable profitability. To achieve this, the company is enhancing its competitiveness and consolidating its leadership in the premium segment. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Eichner. We now have time to take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues now to provide you with the technical instructions for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press your telephone buttons 0 and 1. One by one, you'll be able to ask your questions. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to pick up your receiver. Thank you, and just a moment for the first question. Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Good morning. Your EBIT margin in the automotive segment was much stronger than expected. Could you elaborate on this? What exactly were the reasons for it? Is this primarily the strong products, or were you able to cut costs in a significant manner? Thank you, Mrs. Behrmann, Dr. Eichner. Well, Mrs. Behrmann, essentially there's two effects that come into play here. It's the stronger mix, the attractive product portfolio, also the regional mix with sales growth, for example, in China and in the US, and then the costs incurred in the first 6 months, where they were not so strong. So we're slightly behind in terms of costs. There's a lot of projects that will take their effect in the second half of the year. And it's those two factors that really caused it. Thank you. Next questions, please. Mr. Hendrik Franholt, Wall Street Journal. Well, good morning to you. I'd like to take a look at China. There's a couple of analysts who see a weakening of growth in the second half of the year there. Do you agree with that? Thank you. I'll pass that to Dr. Eichner. Well, China is always an exciting country, and we never really know when any changes will happen there. Consider price bubbles in the real estate market, but from today's point of view, we don't see any indications that growth in the second half of the year should slow down considerably. Currently, no, we don't see a trend there. Thank you. Next question. Sebastian Rabe, Deutsche Presseagentur. Good morning. I have a question concerning Russia and Ukraine. Perhaps you could sketch out what are the consequences that the crisis has so far had for BMW business in Russia, and for the next few months or in the mid and long term, what are your expectations? My second question, how high is the risk, in your opinion, that this conflict will become worse and have consequences for the overall economic situation? Thank you. Dr. Reithofer. Well, looking into the future, you asked about future prospects. That's hard to answer. The last conference call, I already said, the politicians are much closer to the venue. They are much better positioned to judge what's going to happen in the next few months or years. If I look at our first 6 months and how sales were in Russia, then the result in the first 6 months, 2014 here, sales were at 20,366 vehicles in Russia, and this was more or less the same level as we had last year. I can give you a figure. What does that mean, more or less? First half, we had minus 1.3% compared to the previous year. Now, and that's in a market, looking at the last few years, that has been a market of continuous growth. So in the first 6 months, we're roughly on the same level as in the previous year. To us, that means minus 1.3% compared to the previous year. Now, looking into June figures, as in other automotive manufacturers, the dampened economic development in the Russian car market, of course, is making itself felt. What does it mean for us? Sales of BMW Group in Russia in June decreased by 11.9%. So that's two indicators we have here. And then there's a third aspect, and that's the currency. As you know, the ruble is something we're concerned with. Of course, we did sell 20,000 vehicles, but if I look at the currency and the relationship to the euro, then these vehicles, of course, did not make the same contribution as they did before. And what we're also doing at the moment, or what we're thinking about, is now which vehicles we had planned to sell in Europe, in Russia, which of these can be absorbed by other European markets, let's say the UK, Germany, and so on. I mean, you know, we have a very flexible production and logistics system, and we are working on corresponding plans. Thank you. Next question, please. Ulrich Möbel, Leipziger Volkszeitung. Well, good morning. I have two short questions. What does excellent order situation for the i8 mean? And then, have you increased your daily production in the meantime? And second, what does volume vehicle mean in terms of your BMW terminology? Thank you for the question, Mr. Möger. Dr. Reithofer, please. Well, X3, 150,000 vehicles per year, for example, that's a volume car. Or a 3-series sedan with a few hundred thousand vehicles per year, that's a volume vehicle. And if you look at the i8, the i8 is a vehicle like the Z8 used to be in the past. We produce that in very small numbers. I mean, it's got its price too, and for this reason, there's, well, a smaller number of customers. You're asking about the i8. Well, what does that mean? There's an excellent order situation. That means currently customers have to wait for their cars for several months. That means excellent position in terms of order book. And perhaps I could add the i8's actually sold out till the end of the year. Next question, please. Edward Tyler from Reuters. Hello. You sell more smaller cars with the 2-series active Tourer. This will probably even be a trend that will be reinforced now. The profitability level of the automotive segment, will that decrease because of that? What's the share of cars below the 3-series at the moment, and how big will that share be in the midterm? Now, if you sell more cars of a lower margin, do you then have to cut costs further, or what can you tell us about your cost savings program and about the trend towards smaller cars with a lower margin? We'll begin with Mr. Eichiner and then Dr. Reithofer. Mr. Eichiner. Well, let's begin with the current situation. Mini is undergoing model change at the moment. The Mini is also a volume model, but as you mentioned, it's in the lower class. And as the ramp-ups just started, then of course we sold fewer minis in the first half of the year. In the second half of the year, we will sell more. So the positive mix effects we've seen in the first 6 months will be somewhat dampened in the second half of the year. And what is more, I mean, the Active Tourer, that's also a vehicle belonging to the lower class of vehicles. But let me add, these are all seasonal effects. To us, it's the guidance for the entire 6 months, which remains unchanged, as I have already said in my statement. And generally, we always try to have a balanced portfolio. So if we invest in vehicles belonging to the lower classes of the segment, then at the same time, we try to make investments in the upper end, the 4 Series, for example, or the X4, I think. These are current examples that prove this, so that we are able to maintain our margin on average. And that's also reflected in sales per unit. If you adjust for currency effects and adjust for BBA, the joint venture in China, well, in all, that's how we are very stable. And then your question about costs. Well, of course, costs are an issue for us as well. But that's not just an issue that we address every few years, but we always have a close look at our costs. We knew that the CO2 requirements, which are quite challenging by 2020, that these will make themselves felt. They cause high expenditure to provide the right technology, and they also lead to a higher number of smaller vehicles in order to achieve that goal. And these are effects that we're aware of, and we need to compensate for them. And these are issues we have been tackling for many years with various programs. It's not a one-off, but that's a permanent issue. Dr. Reithofer? Well, you also asked me to take a look into the future, the more distant future, you said. What could be the percentage of smaller vehicles as a percentage of the entire product portfolio of the BMW group? Then I can tell you in the midterm, the share will probably be greater than 40% of the smaller vehicles. So Mini, 1 Series, BMW, Active Tourer, as you mentioned yourself. Now these cars will have a share of greater than 40%. Now, to add to what my colleague Dr. Eichner said, at the moment, we're happy about a good first quarter, but looking at the first quarter, profits or today's profits are the results of yesterday's decisions. And let me emphasize, this is not something that can be extrapolated in a linear fashion. So now we're anticipating what we have to do in the future to remain successful in the future. My colleague Dr. Eichner said quite rightly, it's not just about cost cutting at BMW Group. It's about dampening the increasing costs. Let me repeat, it's not all about cost cutting, it's about minimizing the increasing costs. That's something I also said during my statement, and let me repeat. This is also related to the fact that emission laws here in Europe make it necessary to invest in expensive technologies and at the same time to offer more smaller vehicles. And this is something that will accompany us beyond 2015, right up into 2020. Next question, Mirko Rebke from Platobrief. Good morning. I have several questions. Herr Reithofer, at the beginning, apart from regulatory EU issues, you addressed another thing, which was the demand for more sustainability. I'd like to know, are you satisfied with what the EU and the federal government is doing in terms of support or subsidies? There's no German battery manufacturer. You're working with Samsung, I believe. Is there any need to catch up? And then a second question about your sales target. In the previous year, you sold almost 2 million vehicles already. I think in the US, you could have been able, or you would have been able to sell a lot more than you did. What you've claimed so far is not such a great increase. I assume towards the end of the year, will there be some more sales? Can you provide more specifics? And then, if the market develops better in Europe, what about discounts, price markdowns? How have they developed? I mean, among the car manufacturers, I think you're offering quite a range of new products. Thank you, Mr. Reipka. I'd say Dr. Reithofer will begin with your first question, sustainability, sales target, greater 2 million, and then Mr. Eichner on a price situation in Europe. Mr. Reithofer. For Mr. Reipka, I mentioned a balance before. I said we need a reasonable balance in the European Union. What do I mean by that? If it is my objective in the European Union to achieve a gross domestic product of 20% achieved by the industry, then with my decisions in Brussels, I need to act accordingly. I need to convey that I have this objective. And then industrial policy and ecology need to be well balanced. Ecology cannot weigh heavier, and industrial policy cannot be forgotten over it. As I said, there is an objective of 20% industrial production within Europe in terms of gross domestic product. And if I have this objective, then I need to keep those two sides in balance. I'm not saying industrial policy should be more important, but there should be a balance. And if I look at the objectives we have for 2020 already, and if I compare this to other regions of the world, such as China, the United States, then these are, I'd say, the most stringent or the most far-reaching objectives worldwide compared to the US or China. And if I compare this with the US, there it is a matter, of course, that zero-emission vehicles get gold credits. You can save up gold credits, you can collect them in order to get a majority for this technology. Of course, they also provide incentives. There's a clear political intention of driving this technology. Now, this political intention of driving sustainable drive concepts is something I do not yet see in Europe. Thank you. Now, Dr. Eichner, well, you asked about the sales targets. I can confirm, like in our guidance, we're assuming there'll be a clear increase in sales compared to the previous year. Clear to us, that means a rate in the upper one-digit range, perhaps even two-digit. That's our definition. So you can do the math and understand what we mean by it. And to get back to your question about markdowns or discounts in Europe, in the first quarter, we've seen no improvements yet. In the first quarter, there's a slight improvement in prices. Discounts could be reduced somewhat, but it is too early to be able to confirm that the targets we defined for ourselves will be reached by the end of the year, because the greatest stretch is still ahead of us in the second half of the year. Next question, please. Frau Freisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions about costs. What do suppliers have to expect? Do you want them to do more, or will there be more price pressure? And in that context, is there a purchasing cooperation with Daimler of any relevance? What's the contribution your associates have to make to the cost-saving aspect? Can you give an example, or can you quantify it? What are your levers here, and what are the amounts that will have to come from your associates? And then dealerships, subsidiaries, what's their contribution to your cost savings efforts? Will you reduce the network of dealerships, or what will you do? Thank you. Perhaps we'll start with Dr. Reithofer on Daimler in general, and then Mr. Eichner. Herr Reithofer, clear answer here. Our purchasing cooperation with Daimler is still relevant. Mr. Eichner? You had a question about our suppliers and about purchasing. Well, We have long-term contracts for 7 years or so, and this is in line with the cycle, of the vehicle cycle, and we are also guided by certain benchmarks. That's the usual procedure, and that hasn't changed because we want to have a good balance between costs and quality. And I think our suppliers understand this. And I must also say that many of the suppliers achieve a return on sales that does not indicate that they would be in any dire straits. So there is a good balance. Then on the cost of labor, well, I think we've already heard what the background is. We're facing challenges. We know that. And please don't forget, our associates all receive a share in a success. If we are as successful as we're forecasting, then the salaries will increase anyway. But of course, we have to take countermeasures in order to achieve a dampening effect. That's something that is absolutely clear and understandable. I'd like to emphasize what Dr. Reithofer just said. This is not about taking anything away from anyone. It's about dampening the increase in costs. Cost increases should not be above proportion, and that's necessary in view of the challenges we're seeing. Now, about the dealers, I don't think it's our target to take anything away from the dealers. No, the opposite is the case. It is our goal for dealerships to do a profitable business in Germany. It is necessary for them to have a profitable margin so that they can invest in the future. And we are working on improving this step by step. We're seeing a first success. Our dealers are now beginning to make more money. Here, profitability comes before volume, as in on the group level. We have to strike the right balance here as well, and that's still our goal. Thank you. Next question, please. Max Hoffmann, DPRSX. Good morning. I have two questions. I'd like to know, what's the contribution of your China joint venture in the first quarter? What was that in the previous year? And then your outlook for the second half of the year, you said it'll be slightly dampened. Could you give us an indication how that compares to the previous year? Thank you. I think both questions can be answered by Mr. Eichiner. Well, the contribution, China, we see that when we look at financial results, and it was better than last year. There were between 30 and 40 million more coming from China in Q2 2014, so that's a positive trend. Now you could just, can you extrapolate that trend? Well, I don't think so, because we're facing further investment in China. We have announced what our strategy is. We will continue to invest. There will be new models coming to China. So we see costs coming up in the second half of the year that will take their effect. So in EBA, in total, I think there'll be a positive outcome at the end of the year, but we cannot simply double the figures for the first half, for the second half of the year. Next question, please. Jean-Philippe Lacour from Les Echos. Hello, gentlemen. I'd like to get back to what you already emphasized, Mr. Reithofer, dampening the increasing costs. Can you tell us, in the past, how did the costs increase on average? And when you say dampening them, how should costs continue to grow in the next few years? Is there any figures you could give us? Then otherwise, do you think the margin will be reduced compared to your competitors, Audi, Mercedes, who more actively work on reducing costs and who also launch new models in the market? Do you think that the margin will narrow, where you still have a bit of tailwind? That's sort of a midterm question. My second question, Berlin is preparing an electromobility law. That's what I've read in the newspaper. It's about free parking spaces, financial funding, like we do in France. There's no sign of that. So these days, what do you think of such plans of the federal government for promoting electromobility in Germany? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lacour. If you agree, I'd like to deal with costs and margin. Well, give that to Mr. Eichiner, and then Dr. Reithofer will talk about electromobility. Mr. Eichiner, well, about the EBIT margin in the automotive segment, that's what I'd like to talk about now. Here we have a very clear long-term guidance. It's our strategy, and will be, to have a margin of between 8 and 10%. And that will remain our target. The challenges we've already mentioned today have already been taken into account here. It is our goal to achieve this margin while at the same time fulfilling the CO2 objectives. And in order to do this, certain measures have to be taken to counter the trends. That was the discussion we had earlier on. Now we have to take countermeasures to make sure we can meet our objective, and that's our long-term strategy. Now, the strategies of our competitors I cannot comment on. I don't know what they're doing, but to us, what we're doing is reasonable. It's quite demanding, but so far we've always achieved our goals every year. And I assume we will continue to do so in future. Now, about dampening the costs, well, it is our goal to make sure that costs do not increase above proportion, because then we cannot achieve our margin goals. And that's why we also need to take countermeasures here so we reach our targets. Now, specific cost positions are something that we will not comment on. Dr. Reithofer? Well, to give a clear answer, we welcome the plans of the federal government for the electromobility law with possible special rights for electric vehicles. Now, this is also about the municipalities. And I must say, we do hope that the municipalities, the towns, will make use of the opportunities given to them so that the effects will come to the benefit of the customers. Now, from our point of view, and I think that was included in your question, from our point of view, the planned law can only be a first step in the right direction. Thank you. Next question, please. Martin Brehm, Münchner Merkur. Good morning. I have a question about your production mix. You said 70% will be produced or are currently being produced in Europe. At the same time, you gave us production figures of 600,000 in NAFTA region, 400,000 in China, and the 70%. In order to maintain that, you'd have to produce more than 3 million vehicles. How do you maintain that share, or what's the direction you're heading here? Can you be a little more specific? And would that mean a loss of jobs in Germany, or is there a different way you can compensate this? Second question, different issue. You've got several projects with Toyota. Is anything happening there? Do you make any progress? Thank you, Mr. Brehm. First answer, production mix by our production expert, Mr. Reithofer, and then he'll also answer the second question about Toyota, Dr. Reithofer. Well, Mr. Brehm, as you rightly said, if I look at the expansion in Spartanburg, the 450,000 units that we reported, which we want to achieve in the midterm, and if production capacity of a second NAFTA plant in Mexico, if I add that, coming in 2019, that means 600,000 units. And if I then say in the midterm, I want to produce 400,000 units in China, so in those two world regions, this would already add up of a, to a capacity of 1 million units. Quite right. Well, at the moment, we're working towards worldwide growth. And in my statement, I emphasized we need to do some natural hedging to offset currency effects. Strategically, we defined a corridor, a range that we need for our natural hedging. We cannot hedge everything by financial hedging. If you do business in a region as in the US, and if you grow there up to, let's say, 400,000 units, then you need natural hedging for currency effects too, because financial hedging alone is not sufficient. Now in China, as I'd also indicated, in the midterm, 400,000 units. Now, as we're in a phase of growth, currently this will not cost any jobs in Germany. I can clearly tell you that. But what it does mean, in the future, the 70% of production in Europe, that's a level we will not be able to maintain. This number will decrease due to the decisions we've taken in the past few months. So the 70% production in Europe will not be maintained. And that's quite rightly so. Now about Toyota, we're making progress in these projects. We started supplying diesel engines to the diesel engine cars by Toyota sold in Europe. Currently, well, we're about to finalize the analysis we did in terms of a sports engine to decide whether we'll build a sports car for BMW, for Toyota together, and we'll bring on whether we should bring together our engineers in order to push that project. But that's a decision that will be taken this year. Now, the lithium ion cells are something where we're still doing research on. We're also looking into the next generation, and one focus is also on looking at hydrogen drive, the fuel cell, or storing hydrogen and so on. These are projects that are ongoing and under progress. Okay, it's 3:50. We can take one further question. Bert Quicks from Automobilwoche. Good morning. I'll be fast because I've got two questions. You said so far 5,400 BMW i3 have been sold. So far, is this the first 6 months or January to July or ever since you launched it? And then Mr. Eichner said cost increases were caused by projects such as future retail and various IT projects. Here, I'd like to know what are these various projects in terms of future retail? Which of them are so costly and which IT projects? Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Quicks, Dr. Reithofer. Well, Mrs. Quicks, the number relates to the first 6 months from January, including June, and you'll get the July figure soon. And in July, we took a great step forward, but I haven't got the final figure here yet. I don't want to speculate, but what we meant was the first 6 months of the year. Thank you. Then Mr. Eichner on future costs again, the major projects. Well, IT investment, which is strong, goes into our sales channels. We're investing into our digital appearance. We want to make that more professional. And this is part of our future retail program, which comprises, well, standards for outlets, etc., or future digital channels that we are working on or changing at the moment. Then there's new activities in the field of social media, and there's ongoing topics such as the internationalization of our HR functions, which currently incur increased costs or IT costs. Okay, thank you very much, colleagues. Gentlemen here, it's exactly 11 o'clock. I wish you a nice summertime, also on behalf of Mr. Aichina and Reithofer. All the best to you. Thank you, and we'll be back in the third quarter.